This morning we're in Philippians chapter 4. We are finishing our study through Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. If you're using the Bibles on the chairs, that should be on page 667 as we pick up here in Philippians 4, beginning in verse 10 as we close out this letter. It says this, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, because once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Still, you did well by partnering with me in my hardship. And you Philippians know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my need several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." This morning, as we look at the end of this letter, what we see here is Paul offering some genuine words of thankfulness, right? He's thanking them, and he's making it really clear here that he's thanking them not to try to, like, manipulate them to give more, right? He keeps saying, not that I'm pursuing the gift, not that that's what I'm concerned about. And maybe this probably resonates with us, right? We've probably all experienced where we gave something, we made a gift, a donation to some organization, and we were forever on the mailing list, right? Or 8 years later, we're receiving something in the mail, and it's like, thank you for your support. And it's like, I haven't supported you since like 2011 or something, right? And it's like so long ago, and it's like, we know that this thankfulness is really just fishing for more. But what Paul is really clear with here is that that's not what he's doing. He's not trying to manipulate them. He's showing thankfulness. He is thanking them for their help, for their support. And as he does that, what we discover as Paul finishes this letter and these words to him is what we're discovering here is that in Jesus, we receive everything we need. Everything we need. In this passage today, we will discover a secret, a blessing, and a treasure. We'll start with the secret. And it's the secret to contentment. The secret to contentment. We see looking at verses 10 through 13 here. As we think about contentment, it is a struggle, right? I'd say, like, as humans, there are many things that we are plagued by, right? Sin being chief. And one of those results of our sinful nature is this disease of discontent. That it affects those of us who have very little, It affects those of us who have a comfortable amount, and it affects those of us who have a whole lot, that we're all plagued with discontent. And what a struggle that is, right? We can even think about how, like, even just in the chemicals that operate in our brain, of which I know very little, but things like dopamine and things like substances that we can take that have these inflated amounts of this, and that trick our brain into just needing more and more of that, right? And this discontent, this desire for more and more and more. And Paul, in these words here, is showing us that contentment is a blessing from God. That we are to desire contentment, that it is a fruit of walking with Jesus, that it is good, it's desirable. And in that, he shows us the secret to that. And it has zero to do with our circumstances or with our possessions or with how much money's in our bank account. We see it in verse 13. This is a verse that, before we jump in there, is probably one of the most used and most abused verses in the Bible. Okay? Verse 13 says, "I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me." I remember years ago, when I was a youth pastor in Oklahoma, we were leading some of our students. We were on a mission trip, and we're on this mission trip, and we're staying in this church's building, and they had a gym on their building. And in the gym, it's like, apparently at some point, people who like maybe gave money to help build the building or something could pick a verse and have a sign put on the wall. And so there's probably 30 signs of different Bible verses around the walls. And like 22 of them were Philippians 4:13, right? And it's like, well, maybe you guys could have found other verses here. And maybe I remember it like seeing like friends when I was in high school who like had it Philippians 4:13 written on their basketball shoes or something, right? Let's get clear here. This verse is not saying we will win the football game. This verse is not saying we will conquer whatever we have on our plate today. This verse is saying that we can find contentment in relationship with Jesus our Lord. Paul even tells us that, verse 12. He says, "In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me." And let me tell you, the ability to find contentment in a world of unrest, in a world of sin, is a far greater gift than winning the game. It's a far greater gift than getting a pat on your back from your supervisor at work. To be in relationship with Jesus, that through that intimate, loving relationship with Jesus, through being adopted into his family through the cross, that through that we find contentment. Through that we find the ability to continue on following Jesus in this broken world. We have his strength on us. Paul talks about that often, about Christ's strength resting on him, that in his weaknesses he can boast in Christ. A pastor named C.J. Mahaney said that Paul learned the secret because he learned to give attention to the Savior. He found that the secret in contentment here was from attention not on our circumstances, not on the trouble of the today, or not on the success of today, but on attention to the Savior. When our focus, when our gaze is on Jesus, we find hope. We find contentment. And what a beautiful gift that is. I think for us to understand here is that one of the ways that we reflect and demonstrate the gospel, the saving work of Christ in our lives to others around us, to those people in our lives that we were just praying for as I got up here, who we want to come, we pray for them to come to know Jesus as we have. One of the ways that that is demonstrated in our life is through contentment. It's not something we think about as often as a lot of other things. But to be content is distinctive in this world. There's a constant pursuit of more, whether it's money, possessions, accolades and applause, and we see it all around us, this pursuit of more. And this desire and this almost sometimes it can even, we'll see churches portraying this false gospel almost of coming to someone and saying who has need, who has physical need, and saying, well, if you come to Christ, then you'll have riches, talking about physical riches. Well, that's not what the gospel says. But the beautiful thing of the gospel in these words right here is that it says that even in having little, you know Christ. You can have contentment. You can be blessed by Christ. This morning, as we think about how to find contentment, how to live in contentment, we have to first understand that apart from relationship with Jesus, apart from saving faith in our Lord Jesus, we will not find it. We're not going to find it. And as we think about that today, to know if you're hearing this, if you're sitting with us today, if someone else is hearing this message later, the first question to look at this issue of contentment in your life is, do you know Jesus? Do you know the Savior? Because contentment comes directly through relationship with the Savior, directly through looking on Him and the blessing of being in relationship, being a son and daughter of the King. If you don't know Jesus, if you have not come to Him by faith for the forgiveness of your sins, then know that the good, the best news ever known is available to you. That you can come to Him, you can call out to Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to make you new, and that He will do that. So the first step here in contentment is that we must know Christ our Lord. Those of us who know Him, we also know that we still struggle with contentment. We still fight this battle. We still find ourselves in despair over these types of things, in discontent. And the first question on that, as we just think about in our lives, is are you living in relationship with Him? Are you living in intimacy with Him? Like, there's a difference, if you think about a family member, there's a difference between, like, living on the same planet, living with someone who is technically related to us, and living in relationship with them. We have people that we call family that we don't really have relationship with, right? We don't see them often, and it might not even be that something's bad there. It's just we're not in proximity, or we're not close, and it's not the same as when we think about those closest human relationships in our lives. And we think about those relationships and we think, well, this person is a part of my everyday, and I make decisions based on this person, and we talk about things together, and when I have questions, when I have troubles, when I am worn down for my day, I talk to this person. I care. This person is a instrumental, important part of my life. And when I say, do you live in relationship with Jesus, doesn't mean, like, do you when you're asked, hey, do you know Jesus as your Lord? You say yes, but I'm asking much more. Is Jesus part of your every decision? Is Jesus who you look to for hope? Do you know Jesus greater because you're studying his word, the Bible? Do you grow in relationship with Jesus by coming before him in prayer? By gathering as we are right now with other believers? Or by sitting down in a small group to talk about the Bible together? Are you living in relationship with him? Is the deeper we grow in relationship to Jesus, the greater our contentment will be. I can't promise what your circumstances will look like. I can't promise what your physical wellness will be. But I can promise that contentment will grow. We see that in knowing Christ, we find contentment. We also see a blessing here. What we see Paul talking about here is the blessing of partnership. Look at verse 14. He says, still you did well by partnering with me in my hardship. And he goes on talking about the support that they've given, talking about the ways that they've partnered with him in his ministry. And the fact that we even have this letter that we call Philippians, which is written from, remember, as Paul's writing this from imprisonment in Rome, he's been imprisoned because of preaching Christ. He's writing from Rome to the church at a place called Philippi because he's received word about the church through this guy, Epaphroditus, that we see here. We see him mention one other part in the middle of the letter we talked about a few weeks ago. So Epaphroditus has brought, like, money from the Philippian believers, from the church at Philippi. He's brought this money to Paul to help him to meet his needs as he is imprisoned. And as Epaphroditus has done that, he's telling a word about how the church is doing, an update on this. And so the fact that we even have this letter that Paul is in contact and is knowing about this church is because they are supporting him, because they are partnering with him for the work of the gospel. What we see here today is that the Christian life is not a solitary effort. It is one of relationships. As we talked about a moment ago, the chief relationship is between us and Jesus, our Savior. But there's also the relationship that we have with brothers and sisters who also know Christ as Lord. Paul here is helping these believers to understand that our relationships serve as partnerships for the gospel to go forward, advancing the kingdom of God. And as I think about this, I can't help but stop and to talk about the fact that Hope Valley Church exists and for the last year has been here in West Jordan doing ministry is a direct result of partnership. It's a result of partnership with Christians and churches and organizations across America. I had an opportunity this week, actually. I was in Atlanta for a church planter orientation thing that for me was should have been like 2 years ago, but because of COVID and all of that year everything was like, hey, watch a video instead. And so we got to go be a part of this. There were like eight other church planters, eight other pastors from across the Wasatch Front here that were there, and we were gathered together with like 200 people from the United States and Canada who are doing like what we're doing here. And as the SID Network, this organization we were with, that exists for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God in U.S. and Canada. And we're a part of this. And this network is a partnership that helps us in that. We also have churches. And you guys have gotten to see, especially during the summer when we have mission teams in, and know that we have churches who come physically to help us in the work. We have churches who send support regularly to help to finance the work that we're doing here. You know, we also have individuals, like just individual Christians in places across the country who help to support in the work here. And we have our church body that gives to support what Christ is doing. We can often only think monetary in these things, which that is a huge part of it, right? But it's more than that. There's financial support and partnership. There's the support of our time and our prayers and our time coming together that all come together in this. But what we see here and what Paul is thanking them for is their partnership with him, for their works to meet his needs and to proclaim the gospel and further the kingdom of God. And in that, he pulls out something important though. He says, in verse 15, he says, "No church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone." There's a really important thing we have to understand here, that partnership is not just about receiving. And it's also not just about giving. And I think we can, depending on, like, when we think in the context of a local church, we can often go to one of those ends of the spectrum. For us, as a brand new church, we receive a lot from partnership. For a church that's been around 100 years and has the resources they need, they can often think of partnership just as giving. But partnership, it's not a partnership. Unless it is giving and receiving. And to know that as Hope Valley Church, as the offerings, the gifts that come from the people within the church, to know that 10% of all of those things go to support missions and church planning and the work of the gospel across the world. Like that we are not just here to receive, but to give. And our desire, Trent and I were talking about this right before service, our desire is not to just see God build a church that meets in this area, in this community. We pray for that. But our even bigger desire is to see God advance his kingdom. Our desire is that God will build up a church that will send people out to start other works, that will send people out to plant churches, to serve across the globe for the cause of Christ. And as we think about partnership, and as we understand that it's giving, and it's receiving, we have to also understand that this partnership is really a three-way partnership. And that's what Paul's describing here. Sure, it's between Paul and the Philippians, but it's also between Paul and the Philippians and Christ. And we'll talk more about that here in just a moment. But as we talk about this idea of partnership on a bigger level, it is an important function also within the local church to understand that we partner together with each other, that we give and we receive from each other as we walk with Christ, as we seek to live in a relationship with Christ. And man, one of the blessings that I've gotten to experience in that just here the last couple months has been through the D groups that we started up this semester, and just the blessing of sitting with for me with men and talking about the Word that as we've been studying it that week and hearing and praying for each other. And giving wisdom to things and receiving wisdom and prayers, and what a blessing that's been. And I could list so many other ways that I've received and that I've been able to give in partnership as we grow in the Lord together. In verse 17, look at the words that Paul says here. He says, not that I seek the gift. Remember, we talked about that earlier. He makes it really clear that he's not just saying thank you to try to get more. He says, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. He seeks to see them bear fruit, to see them grow in the gospel, to see them advance the kingdom, to see God work through them. What he desires is the fruitfulness of their walk with Christ. A few questions to kind of think about this idea of partnership before we move to the last part today. A few questions are you living in partnership with the local church? Are you giving? Are you receiving? One of the things I'm most convicted about is we pray and as we toil and as we hope for the Lord to provide growth and to bless our community and that we get to see a movement of God here. But one of the things I'm convicted about in the midst of that is that we will walk faithfully. That we will, as a church, honor him, that we will function as the way that he has created his church to, and the way that we live in partnership together is a very important part of that. So we've seen the secret to contentment, which comes through relationship with Christ. We've seen the blessing of partnership that we give and we receive on a local level, and then on the biggest of levels all across this world. And that is directly related. It's not just between us and another, but it's also with Christ. Which gets us to this last point today. That's that we have everything we need, which includes the treasure of Christ's provision. And I think for all of us, right? I can't imagine anyone who would not want to experience like a treasure hunt, right? Who would not want, like, is not enticed by this thought, right? And we can remember as kids and our imaginations are vivid and how we would go on these treasure hunts. And as we've seen for a couple years here in Utah, like these the adult version, right? Where these guys have put these pots of money in the mountains and started releasing these clues, and I don't know, like this year it was like $20,000 or $10,000 or something like this on this treasure hunt, and all the people that go for this. Or you think about like all of the, you know, like the hunt for D.B. Cooper's money, right? And this, is it out there? And this allure of this. But we can, as we think about the idea of treasure today, we understand that we can offer nothing to each other apart from connection with Christ. And in verse 19, it tells us, it says, and my God will supply all your needs according to the rich, to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. For the believer in the Lord Jesus, he is the treasure. He is our treasure. And this is a fundamental shift in our thinking. This is a way that a Christian is fundamentally different than someone who does not know Christ. Because apart from Christ, our treasure can look a lot of different ways, but it's focused on ourself. It involves achieving whatever level of success, whatever desires our heart is driven by. But in Christ, our pursuit's not of the treasure. We have the treasure. Our pursuit is in growing in relationship with him. Notice the key word here in verse 19 is that Paul writes, he says, my God. My God. He's writing about intimacy here. He's writing about a God that he knows. that he knows God, his creator. What a treasure that is. He's not just saying that God will, saying my God. It's all about relationship. It's all about walking in intimacy with God. We understand we'll never find contentment, we'll never find any of this apart from walking with God. What an incredible blessing we have to know God, to know that he will provide. Our circumstances are all different, but we are all here today with our needs met. Now, we might be able to list a bunch of things that we sure feel like, we sure think this is a need, and we sure don't see how it's being met. But I challenge us to understand that God is so much bigger than all of those circumstances. To be encouraged that this letter is written from prison. Paul thinks he's going to get out this time, but he's not certain. And this won't be the last time. And Paul will meet death by execution because he preaches Jesus. And that's only coming like 4 or 5 years after these words right here. It's not far off. Yet this is Paul's message. These are the words that he thought that these believers that he was physically separated from needed to hear. Listen to these last words, these final greeting here in verse 20, let's start there. He says, "Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will be with your spirit." Paul loves these people, his brothers and his sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul can proclaim Jesus high and lifted up. Paul can say, as we sang earlier, Paul can say, "It is well with my soul, even from imprisonment," because his treasure is Christ, because his contentment is in knowing Christ, because he is blessed by the partnerships of gospel ministry. Today, as we respond to this, I just want to, on those 3 points we had today, I just want to ask 3 simple questions. Are you content? Are you content? If the answer is no, I understand. I wrestle with that too, quite often. But we have the secret to it. We have relationship with Jesus our Lord. Are you living in gospel partnership? Is the church something that you attend sometimes? Is the church something you listen to a service from online occasionally? Or is the church a living body that you're a part of, that you're receiving from, that you're giving to, and that you're thinking of the broader kingdom of God and how you can partnership in that? Is Jesus your treasure? Is Jesus where your hope lies? Is Jesus where your greatest joy is found? Is he your treasure? And the question that is overarching to all of these questions is, do you know Jesus as Lord? Because any pursuit of these things without saving relationship with Jesus as Lord is pointless. You won't find these things, no matter how hard you try, apart from relationship with Jesus. And today, whatever the answers to these questions are. Whatever the answer to that big question is, whether you know Jesus or whether you don't, know that He is near. He is present. And that if you do not know Him, you can call on Him for salvation, and He is faithful and just to save you. That if you do know Him and you're struggling with contentment, you're not living in partnership, you're struggling to find your treasure in Jesus, know that He is near, that He dwells with us, that He has given us His Spirit, and that you can come in prayer before Him right now, and He will draw near to you. Know that we are here for you. As a church, we desire to see each of us growing in relationship and intimacy with Jesus. Let's pray together today. Lord Jesus, You are our treasure. Lord, in You we find hope. In You we find provision. Our needs are met. Lord, our greatest need as humans is that we have a problem called sin. And that sin has separated every human who walks the earth from relationship with You. But Lord, the beauty is of Your gospel, the beauty of Your love for us is that Jesus, the one and only eternal Son of God, came to earth so that we could have salvation. Lord, that through Jesus we have a sinless Savior who took on the penalty of our sins, that our sins were atoned for so that we can be restored to relationship with You, Lord God. Thank You. And Lord, my prayer today, and I believe the prayer of those of us gathered here today, is that for anyone who doesn't know the gift of Your salvation, that is hearing these words, that they will come to trust You as Lord. Lord, that You will save them. Lord Jesus, for those of us who are in relationship with You, Lord, will You lead us to contentment? Will You lead us to trust on Your strength in all circumstances, whether in little or in abundance, to be content in knowing You, our Lord? Lord, will You grow us in partnership with each other? Will You grow the strength of the bonds that hold us together as Hope Valley Church? Will You grow us in partnership of giving to the kingdom work around Utah and America and the globe? Lord, will You continue to further Your kingdom here? Lord, You are a treasure. Lord, make our focus on You. Lord, help us to dwell on that truth. We love You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for the incredible privilege, the incredible blessing of knowing You, our Lord. It's in that we give praise. We pray in the name of God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit.